And I kind of spun this off into a little mini-series on the Holy Ghost is what has ended up happening, and that's fine because we need it. We need good, strong teaching and on the Spirit of God and understanding the Holy Ghost and His ministry. And tonight we're going to talk about the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, His ministry of teaching and the importance of that. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 20, and then we're going to look at verse number 27, and then we're going to be all over the Bible as we look at the different scriptures that are there. Actually, we'll look through these seven verses here for right now. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. These words are going to be very important, so pay close attention to them tonight, because there's something that God did. 1 John 2, verse number 20, I believe. But anyway, these words are important because the doctrinal teaching that you're going to realize tonight is the subject of what the Holy Ghost teaches on, what his main subject is in teaching. And once you get that, you're going to be able to identify those false spirits that are out there, and you're going to be able to identify them by the ministry of the Holy Ghost, by those that claim to have the working of the Spirit. They claim that they come in the name of God, and they claim that they have the Holy Spirit. The problem is their message is contrary to the one that we find in the Scriptures. Because the Holy Spirit always works according to the Scriptures, never against them, never contrary to them. There is no division in the Godhead. There is no division in the Trinity. There is unity of purpose always in the Trinity. There's never a division of purpose. Always unity of purpose. Amen. So we'll kind of explain that tonight a little bit in detail. I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Boy, that's interesting, isn't it? Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Now, notice what he said earlier. He said, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Why is he saying that? Because he's telling you when the Spirit of God is inside of you, he has a mission. He is a teacher, and he is teaching you something. And what he is teaching you is Christ. The main subject that the Holy Ghost always teaches is Jesus Christ. He shows you Christ more perfectly. And we'll get down to why he does that and the way he does that and all those things as well a little bit tonight. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now that's important, because when those other spirits come about, they do that. But you have to understand how they do that. I didn't say that they denied that there is a Father and a Son. I didn't say that they didn't preach a Father and a Son. They just don't preach the one that's in the Bible. They don't preach according to the truth of the Bible. See, that's what John warns about the Antichrist more than any preacher in the Scriptures. He names the Antichrist, and he doesn't name the person, but I mean, he just names that person will come, that Antichrist, that spirit is already there. What he's telling you is that he's going to preach a false Christ. He's going to be a spirit. They're going to have spirits, and they're going to preach something. It's just not the one that's in the Bible. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it has been taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, he's not telling you that you don't need anybody to teach you the Bible. He's telling you don't need anybody to teach you contrary to the Bible and not about Christ, or to teach you Antichrist. You don't need anybody to teach you Antichrist doctrine. You don't need anybody to teach you false doctrine, false Christ. They need to be preaching. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. So what that means is that when a false Christ is preached to you, you're going to be like, uh-uh, that's not right. That's not right. Because they're denying the Son. By the way, that also goes for the Kabbalistic Jews and the Hebrew roots people. Because they don't focus on Jesus Christ, they focus on the law. They focus on the Old Testament law and which they don't rightly divide in the first place anyway, but they focus on the law and they don't focus on Christ. But Jesus said when the Holy Ghost comes, he's going to point to him. He's going to talk to him. So he's going to talk about him. So I'm going to show you that here. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the teaching of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Spurgeon said this, when you cannot understand a text, bow the knee and pray and see if God does not split it up into atoms for you and explain the entire thing to you. And if he does not, it may be that he does not wish to reveal it to you at this time. You know, there's been times that I couldn't understand some portions of Scripture, or they just didn't feel like they were opened up to me. I guarantee you, after I went through depression and those issues like that, the Psalms opened up to me more than ever. The book of Job opened up to me more than ever. I could write about it. I could talk about it. I could preach about it, man. When he talked about and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When David talked about being deserted, when he talked about going through the valley of the shadow of death, I understood that more. After some experience of things that I'd went through, and then God's Spirit was ready to teach me and to see Christ through all of that. That's how the Bible works. That's how God works. That's how his Spirit works. Amen? Now, the Holy Ghost teaches us in many ways. He teaches us by suggestion, by direction, and by illumination. Before you are saved, the Scriptures are very dark to you. But when he lightens it up and shows you your lost condition and you're able to repent and put your faith in Christ Jesus, then the Scriptures become alive to you. The quickened word becomes alive. It's not a book of dead rules of that dead men wrote years ago, but it's written by the living God. And you know it and you believe it to be true. And that's why when you go out to the street and you preach to dead men's bones, Paul and I had this conversation a few days ago. We were talking about that. We talked about how the fact that some people say, well, how come every time we go out and preach the Bible and we preach Jesus that they never hear it? All they hear is the law. All they hear is condemnation, because that's all God wants them to hear. He wants to bring them to a place of condemnation so they understand that they're dead in trespasses and sins. So they can be made alive. They can be quickened. But they got to know they're dead before they can be alive. Amen? They got to understand they're dead. You know that devils and angels have access to our minds. Lying spirits can harass us and implant thoughts that are clearly against God's word. Spurgeon said this. He said, some of our thoughts are not brewed from our own brains, but from the cauldron of hell. I believe that. I understand that. Although our minds, I know our minds and our hearts can think of some pretty bad things. But I also know that the Bible warns us about the fiery darts of the wicked. And if you don't use the shield of faith, you'll be pummeled by the fiery darts of the wicked. You'll be taken out. Amen. That's right. That's why you need the helmet of salvation. You need the armor on. I was reading today in Deuteronomy chapter 33. I was finishing up with that. And finishing up the book of Deuteronomy. And I was reading how Moses called God, in that he called God his sword and his shield. He said God was his sword. You know, the shield is used for defense and the sword is used for offense. And God was his sword in that way, he said, against all their enemies. That's how we apply Christ to everything, to our minds, to our hearts, to everything. The goal of your life is to apply Christ to every area of it. That's the goal of your life until you're dead, is to learn Christ. You have an entire lifetime that God has given you, and I know not how long that will be for each one of us, but I can tell you this, you have been given ample time by the Spirit to apply Christ to every area of your life, and that's the goal of your life, is to be conformed to the image of Christ, and God is working that in you. He is following hard after you for you to follow hard after him. That's what God is doing, and that's what the ministry of the Spirit, that's his ministry, that's what he does. The Holy Ghost, he will speak to us, and he does not speak contrary to sound doctrine. He does not speak contrary to the truth of the Word of God. He speaks in agreement with his words, because these are the words of the Spirit of God. These are the words of life. Amen. Let me give you some examples, some practical examples. How many times have you been reading the Bible or thinking on something that God brings a scripture to your mind and heart? Sometimes you may think, well, that's just my awesome memory. No, it's really not. Because sometimes when you're not doing right, you can't think of any of those things that you need to think of at the time you should be thinking of them. But you know what? God's Spirit will jog your memory, and he'll bring things to your remembrance in your mind. He will put you, by the way, the Holy Spirit has his great duty, his great work, his great ministry that he performs upon us is he's the great remembrancer. That's what he does. His ministry is to make you remember. That's what his ministry is. That's what he does. God puts things together. God jogs your memory. I've done that in sermon preparation before. I found that God was putting things together like with pieces like a puzzle. Sometimes I'm praying and I'm walking, and as I'm walking and praying, God starts giving me what he wants me to preach on. Sometimes, and I don't know how that happens. I don't know why God does it, but he does it, and he decides to do it. And it's not contrary to his word either, amen? But he starts to guide our thoughts. He starts to guide us and direct us into what's right. That's what God does. I can tell you the more and more I read scripture and study and prepare and do devotions, that in every way, in every sermon, the Holy Ghost shows me Christ. That is the great need of every man, woman, and child is Christ. And I can tell you that my pulpit ministry has grown a lot stronger and more fruitful by the Holy Ghost, by the afflictions that God has allowed me to have in teaching me to see Christ. Not even my faith, but Christ's faith, Christ alone. He shows me Christ on every page, that his ministry is to teach us Christ. And he does just that. He teaches you who Jesus is. You couldn't know Jesus or understand him without the Holy Ghost. You just couldn't. It's the working of the Spirit of God. He's the great remembrancer. He makes you. He reminds you of who Christ is. Amen. That's his work. That's what he does. And praise God for it. You better thank God for it. You know, he doesn't lead us to doubt God or to look to ourselves, but to trust the Lord and to lean not on our own understanding. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth 4 times in the Bible. Let's look at John 14:17. He's called the Spirit of Truth. We know Jesus is the way, the truth, don't we? See, remember, there's always unity of purpose in the Godhead. That's how you know that the Holy Ghost isn't going to come along and give you a message contrary to the one that Jesus came to give and the one the Father sent Jesus to give. Why? What is that proving? Unity of purpose, always. Always unity of purpose. No confusion. They speak the same thing. For they're one. Amen? John 14:17. So that's 13. Verse number 16 says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Amen. Another comforter. Christ was there comforting them. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believed in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. So Jesus in person is not in the flesh here to comfort us. But all the saints of God are comforted by the Holy Ghost. That's his office. That's his work. That's God's plan. And the Bible says here, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world, why? They already have a spirit. They can't receive his. What is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience? The spirit of the world is Antichrist. Amen. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This was before the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is before that happened, that he was telling them that he's going to come and he's going to be in you. He was with you, but he shall be in you. See, when Jesus did the same thing with his disciples as Moses did. Remember when Moses put his spirit on all those, God had Moses put his spirit on all those people and they started to prophesy? Remember that? When Moses did that, and the 70 that were there, the 70 elders of Israel, what did Jesus do? He did the same thing. The Spirit of God was on them, but not in them. That's the difference. right? The only one that had the Spirit of God in them, the only two that we know of for sure, was John the Baptist, who was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, right? And Jesus. Because he giveth not the Spirit unto him by measure. There was no measure. He was in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Boy, that's something, isn't it? Woo! That is something, isn't it, to think about. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelt with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. There you go. All right. John chapter 15, verse number 26. Let's turn there. Jesus said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. What did he say? He said, the Spirit of truth, who's going to come from the Father. Where did Jesus come? From the Father. Where was Jesus going? Back to the Father. Where did this Holy Spirit of God go? To earth, to his church, right? To indwell his people. The Comforter, what does he do? He testifies. The Comforter testifies. That's the work that he does. He teaches you Jesus. He points you to Christ. He reveals him to you and reveals truly what would Jesus do. People ask that question. Well, the Holy Ghost will show you what Jesus would do. Amen. I don't think people have a real problem knowing what Jesus would do. They just don't want to do what Jesus would do. Amen. Come on. That's the truth. It's not a knowledge issue when it comes to that. It is the Holy Ghost coupled with his word that he uses to teach you what Jesus would do. That is the Holy Ghost ministry. That's how we can trust the apostles' record. Why is that? Because the Spirit of God's ministry was to teach them and remind them of all things that Jesus taught them. Inspired scripture. John chapter 16, verse number 13, we're going to see again. Jesus said this, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. He knew that they couldn't handle it. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Not some truth, not partial truth, but into all truth. Now, directly he was speaking to those apostles. The reason why is because what would they be doing? They would be the holy men of God that spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost would bring everything to remembrance that Jesus said for us to have. Everything. So, what happened? That's exactly what they did. And that's why you and I follow the apostles' doctrine. We don't follow the church fathers' doctrine. We don't follow Rome's doctrine. We don't follow other people that were wrong in their doctrine. We follow the apostles' doctrine as found in the Word of God. Because Jesus promised the Holy Ghost is going to come, the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. You will have all of it. So then today I have this King James Bible upon the authority of God. I have it upon the authority of the Holy Spirit that I have all things. He will guide you into all truth. Amen. So that's the first thing. He's going to give us all truth. And that's what he did to the apostles. He gave them everything. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how they had scripture. That's how they wrote it. Because Jesus gave them everything. You said maybe they forgot some very important details. Nope. Because Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come. And what would he do? He would remind them of everything that Jesus taught them. So they weren't going off of memory. Like some people might think, well, their memories were a little bad after about 40 years or so. So they were probably doing this and then probably not really all the Bibles there. And we found these missing manuscripts in somebody's toilet somewhere. And that's probably where it came from. And And you know, because they didn't remember everything, so we found the Gospel of Barnabas and all the Gospel of Barney and all these other ones, right? We found all these, and they must be, you know, they just, the apostles, they just forgot. No, that's not what the Bible says. Jesus said that the Holy Ghost would come and that he would guide them into all truth. They'd have it. He would help them to remember everything. He will guide you into all truth. I have many things to say unto you now. Well, but you can't handle it, he said. So the Spirit of truth, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Okay, now that's important right there. What does that mean? Well, you know, you have Muslims today that believe parts of the Bible, and they say that Muhammad was the comforter that was supposed to come. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, they say that. That Muhammad was the comforter that was going to come. There's only one problem with that. He's dead. But the other problem with Muhammad being the comforter that was to come and to give them, the only problem with that is that he spoke a message contrary to the word of God. And he wasn't a spirit either. Right? But that's what some of them believe. But it says, the Bible says that it was the duty of the Holy Spirit, what his work would do, what he would do. And why did he not speak a different, why did he speak a, didn't speak a different message? Why did he speak the same exact message? Because there's no disunity. They're the same. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, there's no difference. There's no difference in purpose, ever. The unity in purpose is the exact same. So he's not going to come and teach a different message, right? He's not going to teach you anything contrary to what I taught you. That's what Jesus was saying. When he comes, he's going to remind you of everything that I told you because you already forgot it. Now you think Peter was always saying, I will therefore put you in remembrance. I will put you in remembrance so you once knew this. I will put you in remembrance so you once knew this. I over and over. Why? Because that's what the Holy Ghost did to him. Put him in remembrance so he once knew this. Over and over again. Amen. That's the ministry of the Spirit. That's what he does. When somebody has some new doctrine that they've been taught, and they've got some new thing and something that nobody else knows about and all this new stuff, well, that's not the Holy Spirit. No. You didn't get that from him. You might have got it from a spirit, but you didn't get it from that one, from the Holy Spirit. When it's contrary to the Scriptures, it's not of God. Jesus said he would not speak of himself, but he would glorify Christ. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That's quite a ministry there. There's more there. He will show you all truth and remind you of all things, right? And whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That's the future events. Now, is that to us? No, that was to the apostles. He was showing them prophecy. What did John do on the Isle of Patmos? What happened? He got a vision, right? What did Peter do? What did they all do? They spoke prophecy, right? They prophesied. Why was that? Because the Spirit of God showed them. He showed them the future. But then the canon was closed, right? The vision was closed in Revelation chapter, in the final chapter of Revelation. What do we find? We find a warning not to add any revelations, not to take any away, right? That's right. That's what we learned by that. He said here that he will show you things to come. Now, he does take his word and teach us things to come, but spoken directly to us as new revelation? No, that was given to the apostles. And there was a time for that. And that time would be no more. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. You know, there's a lot of people that go around saying that they have a message from the Holy Ghost and they're being led by the Holy Ghost and everything. But the problem is that their message is contrary to what Jesus said. Right? When you see these women that say they're called to preach. Right? When you see these women that say they're called the pastor and they're pastors and they got a word of knowledge, they got a word from God, Well, that's not consistent with the Bible, is it? So, yeah, they got a word from something and from some spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes God hides things in dark providences to us, and in due time, the Holy Ghost reveals things through his word. He does reveal things to come. Jesus even said that in John 13:7. He said, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. How many things in your life would you like God to reveal as to why things are happening the way they are at the moment they're happening, but God doesn't show you that now? But he says, I'll show you hereafter. There'll come a time when God will show you. But he does that through his spirit, and he does that through his word. The Holy Spirit's ministry to teach us is he communicates the message of Christ. That's what he does. As Jesus did, communicate the message of the Father, because there is no division of purpose. Again, in the Godhead, in the Trinity, they are united in purpose. They are the great three in one. So the Holy Ghost, his chief ministry is a teacher. That's his work. That's what he does. By the way, that doesn't mean that you are allowed to be lazy. Because the Bible says that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you stand around and say, well, I'm waiting for the Holy Ghost to teach me something. Well, God uses natural means, right? That's what he does. So God expects you to get into that word and learn it and ask the Holy Spirit and ask the Lord to guide you through the Spirit and give you that, right? To teach you. His chief aim, his chief subject is Christ. That's the main subject of the Holy Spirit when he teaches us. He teaches us Christ. That's his whole ministry. That's the focus of his ministry, is to lift up Christ, is to glorify. What does it say here? Verse number 14, he shall glorify me. Amen. Again, there is the limitation that the Spirit shall not speak from himself, thus prohibiting the notion that the Holy Spirit would initiate new doctrine, formulate new truth, or announce new teachings in any manner beyond or in addition to the all truth Jesus has already delivered to the apostles. Right? Because it is the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So there's not this, when you hear these people have these extra biblical teachings and the extra revelations and all these extra things, you're like, well, that's not what the Holy Ghost came to do. But they always blame it on the Spirit of God. They always attribute it to the Holy Spirit. Oh, well, the Holy Spirit's given me a word or taught me a word or teaching me a word or giving me something. No, the Holy Spirit shows you Christ. And I got a question for you. How come every time we see one of those Pentecostal meetings and those speak the word meetings and these and all of these charismatic meetings, how come they're never lifting up Jesus ever? They're never focused on the person, the work of Christ. They're always focused on the Holy Spirit, or so they say. But the Holy Spirit's main ministry is to focus on Christ. Why? Because you get saved by the blood of the Lamb. You get saved by Christ and his atonement. But they want to distract you and take the focus off of Christ. So they make another focus, and it's a false spirit. It's not the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God, the testimony of the prophets is what? The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. That's what it is. That's the work of the Spirit. That's what he does. He focuses you on Christ. He shows you more about Christ. He teaches you to be like Christ. Well, listen to all their meetings. They're never about Christ. Right. They're never about Christ. They're never about learning who Christ is. They're never about learning to be meek and lowly of heart and find rest for your souls. They're always about money and always about supernatural powers and everything else like that we were never told to focus on. But to learn Christ. What was the message of the Apostle Paul? Learn Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That I may know him. Who? Jesus. Paul's message over and over again was that you are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That you are to be like Christ. That's his message over and over again. Do you hear that in the Pentecostal charismatic movement? No. You don't hear a focus on Jesus Christ. You hear a focus on magic, so to speak. Yeah, a focus on themselves and their gifts and money and everything else. You see a light show like Simon the Sorcerer put on. But you don't see a lifting up of Christ. But what did he say the main ministry of the Holy Ghost would be? Not to see you running around flapping your tongue, right? Not to see you running around, running the aisles and acting like a fool. Not to see you dancing and screaming about money, come to me now, right? Not to have supernatural gifts and walk up and smack people on their forehead and knock them down and slay them in the spirit. No, that's not the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is summed up right here. He shall glorify me. Because he wasn't coming to speak another message. He was coming to speak the same message. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. That's the message of Christ. It's the only message that saves a sinner's soul. It's the only one that comforts the saints in the deepest, darkest of night is the Holy Ghost of God driving home that it is Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And if you lift him up, he'll draw all men unto him. Amen. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He's going to show Jesus. That's what he came for. He came to show you Christ. He came to bring him to your remembrance always and his work and his atonement for your soul. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. He's going to take of mine and he's going to show it unto you. He's going to take everything that I taught you and he's going to show you. Everything that I taught you when I was here, he's going to show you all of it. Yep. Amen. That's right. Philippians 2:6. Why is this important? This is important because Philippians 2:6 says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. See, the reason why it's not wrong is that the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is God. And the Holy Spirit came and he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself a man, but he came and he was God in the flesh. So what happened? So the Holy Spirit comes and he bears witness that God came in the flesh. Amen. That's what he came. And that's what the Holy Ghost manifests. By the way, why do you think you believe the gospel? You believe it because of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Why do you believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again from the dead? Why do you put your faith and trust in Christ? Because the Holy Ghost bear witness that Jesus' message was true, that he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. The Father delivered all truth to Jesus. John 13, if you look at that, John 13, 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. Powerful stuff. I'm telling you, there's a lot in these chapters in John. I mean, a lot. John chapter 16, verse number 15, was you see, all things that the Father hath are mine. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. All things that the Father hath are mine. Where else do we see that principle laid down? Well, Jesus talked about it. How did he talk about it? In the prodigal son, he said to his oldest son, what did he say to him? Son, all things that I have are thine. All that I have is thine. Everything. Right? We find that in Hebrews chapter 1. Unto the son he saith, thy throne, O God, forever and ever is a scepter of righteousness, is the scepter of thy kingdom. Right? Amen? The Father delivered all truth, and Jesus delivered all truth to the apostles, promising that the Spirit would enable them to remember all truth. John 14:26. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. He is the great remembrancer. That's his work, to bring all things to your remembrance, right? Through the scriptures. That's why you have the scriptures today. That's how you know the scriptures were sent here by God, that we have them by inspiration of God. Not was given, but by inspiration of God. Amen? We have the inspired word of God before us. We're not looking for the inspired word of God. We're not looking for it. It's right before us. It's there by the Spirit of God. Amen? We have it here today. And therefore, only the apostles of Jesus could have been guided into all truth. In the writings of the apostles of Jesus is found all the truth. As far as the Christians are concerned, we have it all. That's the promise that we had. Jesus said before he left, look, I'm going to send the Comforter, and he's going to remind you of all things. He's going to teach you, and he's going to remind you of everything I've said to you. And not only for you, but remember what he said, but for them that believe on me through your word. They're going to have it too. See, that's the promise of God. That's the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. So for the Christian, there's not some of the Bible inspired and some of it not. And there's not new truth added to it. Oh, we just add to it. No, we can't do that. Like the charismatics who teach the Holy Ghost, to teaching them things that are contrary to his written word, to teaching them new revelations that are added. This text and others forbid such things. When a man tells you that he has extra biblical revelation, he is speaking contrary to the Spirit of God, as Christ instructed us would come, and that those men would come, and how their ministry would operate. 1 John 4:1, John warns about that. He says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world." See, the Spirit of God leads in the doctrine of Christ as found in the Bible. If a spirit is leading contrary to that, then it is not of God. It is not the Holy Ghost. If they teach a different Jesus unto you, if they're teaching you something about, for instance, there are those out there that deny the Trinity. There are those out there that deny the bodily resurrection of Christ. Then what are they denying? That Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Right. They deny the virgin birth, the incarnation. They deny those things. When they deny those things, they are not Christians and they are not preaching the same Christ. He says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." See, they have a spirit and we have a spirit. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. The world hears them. Does the world have a problem here in Joel Osteen and Kanye West? Right? No. Why don't they have a problem here in those guys? Because they have the same spirit. Why can a Christian, in parentheses, Kanye West go on Joe Rogan, an avowed Satanist, go on his program and talk to him like they're best friends? Well, because they are. They have the same spirit. You think they'd let a Bible-preaching preacher come on there? I'd love to be on that with that guy. Wouldn't be on there very long, but... probably quickly. I'd love to talk to either one of them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, when you talk to them and they just can't hear this book, And they even claim to be Christians, and they can't hear it. Why? Because these things are spiritually discerned. That's right. And they have the spirit of error. And they can't hear it. They can't accept it. They can't accept it. Right. They hear the idol shepherd's voice. They hear the other shepherd. That's who they hear. But they don't hear the spirit of God. They hear the spirit of error. Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And they can't. By the way, the Spirit, he does not speak for himself, from himself or for himself, that is, independently of the Father and the Son. He doesn't do that. Furthermore, he will show things to come. This was fulfilled in the inspired witness of the apostles. Let no one therefore think that the Holy Spirit continues now to give prophecies through individuals. He has shown the things to come in the completed Word of God, and we must turn there to know these future events. We're not looking for some prophet to give us. Another man said it this way, a little reflection will show that the Holy Spirit could never be the independent kind of wind in the mulberry bush guide of human conduct that some seem to believe. If any spirit, even the Holy Spirit, could have so dominated man's mind as to have guided him into all truth apart from the objective demonstration of truth in the life and person of Jesus Christ, it would not have been necessary for the Lord to come in the flesh. The subjective feelings of spirituals in all ages have been erroneously received as gospel truth, and the ravages of this error have been phenomenal. Gibbon recorded a remarkable incident from one of the Crusades in which 200,000 people had as their genuine leaders a goose and a goat carried at the front, and to whom these worthy Christians ascribed an effusion of the divine spirit. He calls them Christians, but Gibbon wasn't a Christian. But anyway, but pitiful, certainly, says one, but not any more pitiful than millions today who are following some goose who is allegedly endowed with the Holy Spirit. Right? That's a good point, isn't it? But these people followed a goose. They were looking for outward signs of the movement of the Holy Spirit. And they said, well, that thing has the outward signs. I don't know how they got that from a goose. But I don't want to know, I guess. Probably don't want to be smoking what they were either. But that's what they did. The Bible says, he shall glorify me. His whole goal is to glorify Christ, as Christ's goal was to glorify the Father. That Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is remembered, sir, and his ministry is to glorify and to show who Jesus really is. And that's not demeaning to God the Holy Ghost. Just as it was not belittling for the Father to glorify the Son and the Son to glorify the Father. They are never slighted in their perfect nature, ever. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, Jesus said. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. You know, you're going to see something here. He's going to explain to you what a Christian is, but he's also going to explain to you what somebody that has the Holy Ghost, who that is. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know, it's a scary thing when you see somebody that wants to run into the world and live like hell and run around and fornicate, and they claim to be a Christian. They want to run around and do evil and live like the world and be like the world and everything else. And it's grievous for them to come back to God's house as a prodigal, and it's grievous for them to do right. No, no, no. It ought to be the delight of the Christian soul to do right. Amen. Because you have the spirit of truth in you, not the spirit of error. If you have the spirit of error, then you are comfortable with doing wrong. Or more so, maybe even a conflicted conscience, but you can handle the wrong in that sense and continue to do it. So you think. But this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. This is he that came by water and blood. Now you're going to see a testimony, okay? You're going to see a testimony here, and what you're going to see is a witness. You're going to see a witness that is given. The witness is to Jesus Christ. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. All truth. The Holy Ghost is all truth. No error. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. Same Spirit. They agree in one. Three in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Amen. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So the Spirit, he comes to teach you Christ. He comes to help you to be conformed to the image of Christ. But he comes, most importantly, as he teaches you, he comes to teach you to be like Jesus, more like the Master. We're not going to have time to get into gifts and other things. We'll get that next week. But that's the main message of the Holy Spirit. That's his main teaching, and Christ is his main subject. You are schooled in Christ by the Holy Ghost. You are schooled to learn Christ by the Holy Spirit. This is why you ought to ask God every time you open this book to help you to learn. Because God's Spirit will guide you through the Scriptures and teach you Jesus. That's what he does. He teaches you about Christ. That's how I can go in the Old Testament, and I can today finish up in the book of Deuteronomy here, right? And I can see Christ in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Why? Because the Holy Spirit makes him known. He makes him known to us right there. He says, happy art thou, Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help. Who is God? He is a buckler. He is a shield to them that trust him. Right? And who is the sword of thy excellency? And what is that sword? What is the word of God? Jesus is the word, right? But also the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? And what does it do? Piercing asunder, right? It's dividing asunder soul and spirit, right? From truth, from error, right? And what does it say here at the end of that verse? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. How? By the sword we find the truth. Right, overcoming the world, that's right. Thou shalt tread upon their high places. That's right. That's what God says. But that's Christ right there that we see. Christ right there in the Old, all over the Old Testament, everywhere. He bears witness to him. And he also teaches you the message of Christ. He teaches you who Christ is in your own life, to apply Christ to every situation in your life, every trial that you have, every problem that arises, every situation. How can I be more like Christ? How can I respond as Christ would respond? How can I respond a biblical way? How can I deal with this according to the Scriptures? And then he teaches you the Bible. He shows you and he illuminates the Word of God to you. He teaches you about Jesus through the Word of God. That's his work. That's what he does. He affirms to us that we are the children of God by bearing witness of who Christ is. In Romans 8, Romans chapter 8, verse number 15, and we're done here. Romans 8, 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How? Because we see Christ. And he bears witness that Christ is there. And he bears witness of Christ. No man is saved without Jesus Christ. No man is saved without the witness of Christ. No man is saved without Jesus. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is the Spirit that drives home the truth of who Christ is. And it is the Spirit that teaches us and gives us assurance of our faith and strengthens us as we go. Assurance is a ministry of the Holy Ghost. He gives that to us, but he doesn't. But you are not always guaranteed to have it in this life. Why? Because it is subject to things that happen in this life. Ups and downs. Your ceiling is not, your salvation is not, but your assurance will be. In many times, it'll be in a temporary state, right? Up and down, as life goes. Sometimes it'll be strong. Sometimes your assurances, and you will see things strong, and sometimes they will be weak. Sometimes they will not. You will not see anything, it would seem. But sometimes it's because you're looking for the wrong thing. You're looking for a feeling. But the Bible says we know, and knowing is not a feeling, right? We know, and we know, and we know. It does not say and we feel, but it says and we know. Amen? We focus on what we know, not what we feel. In this life, you will feel many things, and most of them will not be good. Why? Because your feelings are subject to your flesh. However, you are not subject to your flesh or your feelings. That's why you're called to walk in the Spirit. And that's why the Holy Spirit shows us Jesus and how we are supposed to walk and how God expects us to walk in this life. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for the ministry, the teaching ministry of the Spirit of God. Help us to never slight that ministry. Help us to pray to the Father. Ask him for guidance through the Holy Spirit. Help us to always seek that moving of the Spirit of God, that guidance, that teaching, that understanding. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.